Homepage for a Wednesday, May 11th, the day before the Ryan Trump meeting. People preparing, talking about it. A lot of discussion on talk radio about it. We'll get to politics a little bit later, bottom of the hour. We'll hear from Paul Ryan, his short 3-minute conversation with Michael Medved yesterday on Medved's syndicated show, which is heard weekdays, 3 to 5:30 these days on FM 103.1 AM 680 and Wogo.com. Also, got a 30-second clip from Paul Nealon. Nealon is the Republican who's challenging Paul Ryan in the August primary in Wisconsin's first congressional district in the southern part of the state. With the help of Sarah Palin, he thinks he can upset the Speaker of the House. That'd be a big one. Anyhow, we started off, though, with Wellness and Weight Loss Wednesday here on WDOGO and Wogo.com. Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd is going to continue with questions. As we usually say to you, callers go to the front of the line. Karen joins us the second, third, and fourth Wednesdays of the month. And we'll do so here in May, and then we take the summer break. And at least for now, who knows what the future holds? But at least for now, Karen, that would be the show. We're saying we'd have you back to promote your play in August. But 8.5 years together, and I better not get teary eyed right now. It's just too soon. But anyhow, we've had a good run, right?
We have had a good run. 8.5 years is a great run.
A lot of podcasts. You've got a lot of the podcasts up. At your site at KarenHurd.com. There's a load, truly a treasure trove of information to be had there for sure. All right, we've got a lot of folks who've emailed Mark at Wib.com, Mark at Wogo.com. But again, callers go to the front of the line between now and 11:30 for Karen before we turn a little bit to politics. And then later we're going to close it out. I saw a terrific story on PBS NewsHour last night, which had to do with this nursing home in Seattle that they incorporate a nursing home and a daycare in the same location. And it was a brilliant idea, and I just got to share it with people. So that is ahead in our final segment. But right now, let's go to the third of Amy's questions that she emailed, and we didn't get to this one, Karen. And she says, many people are now touting how good saturated fats are and how they're not the cause of heart disease and high cholesterol. Amy says they also say how the unsaturated and polyunsaturated fats and vegetable oils are linked to disease, often citing how the vegetable oils have only been around 100 to 200 years and were originally developed to get rid of waste. So Amy says, Karen, I know your stance on saturated versus unsaturated fats, but can you speak to the part about vegetable oils being relatively new? What do you say about that? And maybe just for those of us who don't know, like Amy, remind us what your stance is on saturated versus unsaturated fats, Karen.
Sure. Okay, well, I can start with the stance first and then go why vegetable oils are not relatively new. They're actually very old. So there are two different types of fats. There are saturated fats and there are unsaturated fats. Saturated fats just means that, well, first of all, understand a fat is just a long chain of carbons. Carbon is an atom. You know, we have these elements that our world consists of, and they're listed on the periodic table of elements. Well, carbon is one of the most prolific elements that we're made out of. We're basically made out of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, some sulfur, a little bit of iodine. And so there's just a few elements that the human body is made out of all those 100-plus elements that we have. Carbon is one of those elements. And we classify them as atoms. When you get to an atomic form, it's the smallest unit. Well, there's also neutrons and protons, and now we're even breaking those down some, but it's the littlest unit that we have right now. So a carbon atom, when we have a fat, we are connecting one carbon to another carbon to another carbon, and carbons have to have a binding. They have to be bound to four different things. Every element or every atom will want to bind or connect with something else. And each element or atom has its own number of bonds that it wants to make. Carbon wants to make four bonds. If it doesn't make four bonds, it's a very unhappy element, and it will do damage in trying to get a fourth bond. So in a fat, the carbons are all bonded with four friends. We'll call them friends. On either side of a carbon and a fatty acid chain is just a whole line of carbons. each carbon is connected to the next carbon, connected to the next carbon, connected to the next carbon. Most of our fats are 18 carbons long. Some of them are 15, some of them are 21. When we get into waxes and hard things, are approaching 21, 22 carbons. And then when we get into like coconut oil, it's 15 carbons. But most of our fats are 18 carbons long. Okay, so now we have this long chain of carbons. Well, they're connected on either side to another carbon, but what about the up and down? What about the third and fourth bond? Well, the third and fourth bond is in a fatty acid are always hydrogens. Hydrogens are another element. They are an atom. And so a hydrogen is attached to the carbon, so each carbon has two hydrogen buddies and two carbon buddies. So we're a very happy carbon. We have four bonds. Okay. Now then, in a saturated fat, that means that carbon has bonded with two hydrogens and two carbons. In an unsaturated fat, there's only one hydrogen that the carbon makes a bond with. It's got the two carbons on either side, but it's got only one hydrogen. And so what are we going to do with the third bond, or rather the fourth bond? Because the carbon has to have four bonds. It has to. It doesn't exist without them. I mean, it exists for, when I say milliseconds, what a very long length of time. It's such a short flash of time that we can't even hardly recognize it. There's a transition where it may not have a fourth bond, but it's very quick and very quickly resolves that situation. So that fourth bond is made with the carbon next to it. It actually makes a double bond. We join hands, both hands are joined with the carbon next to it. And so an unsaturated fat means it's not saturated with hydrogen atoms. It has room that we could add a hydrogen atom, or something else can come in and can say, hey, carbon, you know, you're holding hands, you're holding both hands over here to this carbon next to you. Could you let go with one hand and could you join with me? And that's what an unsaturated fat is so good about, because we can bring in other things. It can be another hydrogen. That's when we call it, we saturate a fat. We're saturating it with hydrogen. But we could bring in another functional group. Well, what's a functional group? It's a molecular structure of, say, a sterol. A sterol is a five-member or six-membered ring. It's a carbons and nitrogens and oxygens that make rings, and they come and they can attach onto this fatty acid chain. Well, what's so important about that? Because that's how you make hormones. That's how you make other things, is that you're bringing something in to that double bond, and you're saying, carbon, let go with one hand and hold on to me, and you have created a new molecule. You have created a new substance. That's exactly what chemistry is about. That's exactly what our health and nutrition is about. And so we need to have the ability to make a fatty acid into something. Being made into a hormone is really nice, because hormones drive every single chemical reaction in the human body, period. If you don't have hormones, you're dead. It's over. So we have to have hormones. And the vast majority, when I say the vast, we're talking, there's very few that are not made out of fatty acids. Some of them got some proteins involved in there, but they are going to be made out of fatty acids. And so we have got to have the ability to bind and bring in another functional group. If you have a saturated fat, we don't have that ability. Boom, it's over. There's no room. There's nobody going to come in and change the saturated fat into a hormone, because the carbon is very placid. It's happy. It's got all four hands being held. We don't want anybody else coming in and disturbing our relationship. So we actually have to take and saturated fat, before it can be made into anything useful, we have to convert it to an unsaturated fat, which the human body can do and does. And so then this is a very long chemical process that involves several steps and several enzymes, which are proteins that have to come in, and lots of energy, lots of ATP, that's energy, that's what we call it. ATP is adenosine triphosphate, and all that has to come in so that we can turn this saturated fat, which has, we can't do anything, it's inert, not useful, unactive, and we can turn it into something. We can make a hormone out of it or anything else we want to make out of it. To do this process, what a long chemical process. And in the process of making this saturated fat into an unsaturated fat that's usable, we have free radical damage that occurs. This is a big one, Mark. Free radical damage spells aging, spells cancer. Can't shout it any louder.
Maybe you should say there's nothing free about free radical damage.
Yeah, I like that, Mark. There's nothing free about it. You're going to pay. You're going to pay big for this. And so let's not increase the aging process. We have so many other things that are causing free radical damage. Do we also have to do it with our fats, too? Okay, so maybe that's more of an answer than you wanted, but everybody needs to hear this because everybody gets very confused about these saturated fat issues. Okay, so here's this very interesting comment, that vegetable oils are not new, they are relatively new, that these unsaturated fats are new. They are not new. They are as old as creation itself. Our unsaturated fats are found in all of our nuts. They are found in olives. They are found in grains. They are found in all of our foods that have been here since the beginning. What is not natural is the saturated fats, and where are they found? They're found in animal products. They're found in meat. They're found in pigs. They're found in things that we were not originally supposed to eat. We were not carnivorous in the beginning. In the garden, we ate food from the ground, which already had the unsaturated fats there. The unsaturated fats in plants are naturally occurring, and that's the type of fats that are there. It is in the animals that we have the saturated fats. You'll say, well, coconut oil is an exception. It is, but coconuts are only grown in very, very specific parts of the world, and there's not a lot of them because it is a tropical fruit. And so what we want to do is realize they have been here since the beginning. Now, once we had the fall in the garden, and Adam and Eve were kicked out, the Garden of Eden is off limits to us now. We cannot, there is no one that is going to enter the Garden of Eden. There are angels that are guarding the entrance to the Garden of Eden as we speak, marked with flaming swords that will not allow the entrance. Wherever that is, it doesn't matter. If it's another dimension, it doesn't matter. I don't know all those things. I'll let theologians take that on. But we are not going to enter the Garden of Eden. We're done. We're out. And God was the one that first killed an animal that Adam and Eve could be clothed. I don't know. It doesn't say in the scriptures. If God took that animal and that he said, here, cook this Adam and Eve and you can eat of the flesh. I don't know. It doesn't say that in the scriptures. I don't know if he just threw the carcass of the animal into the ditch after he took the skin off the animal. I don't know. But I do know that it is very clear in scriptures and following all through the Old Testament that meat was a part of the diet. And that's where the saturated fats come in. They are an addendum later. They are not from the beginning.
Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd, there you go. Wind her up and let her go on an opening monologue, as you will, here, answering that third question from Amy. We've got other listeners who want to check in. We'll hear from them coming up. Plus, if you've got something for Karen, boy, we had a client on last hour. You have to check the podcast at wib.com for Wellness Wednesday. A client, Juliet from England in Surrey outside of London. Hear what she had to say, how she got some help and hope and healing from through the nutritional counseling of Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. So check that out, Wellness Wednesday at wib.com, the podcast, top of the page. But more questions when we come back, emailing mark@wogo.com or callers go to the front of the line. The final 10 minutes, 723-2555-WOGO.
Lake Halley Golf, a lot to offer for the occasional and avid golfer.
Savings or comfort? At Bryant, they believe you deserve both. With the Bryant Evolution Air Conditioner, you can stay cool this summer without breaking the bank. The Evolution Air Conditioner offers efficient operation, saving you money. And with reduced humidity and improved air quality, you can maximize your home's comfort. Kelly Heating and Electric, your local air conditioning, heating, and electrical experts. Find them online at kellyheatingandelectric.com. And like them on Facebook. Bryant, whatever it takes. Air conditioner overheated? Whether it's a quick fix or time to find something new, you need a dealer who knows what it takes to keep things cool. And a Bryant dealer does whatever it takes. And it takes attention to detail, the right tools, and friendly, knowledgeable service. Bottom line, it takes a Bryant dealer to keep your family cool. It takes Kelly Heating and Electric. Call 715-832-6909 or online at kellyheatingandelectric.com. Bryant, whatever it takes.
Do the cherry berry, do the cherry berry. summer starts early at Cherry Berry Frozen Yogurt. Treat yourself to 14 delicious flavors of creamy, never-from-powder frozen yogurt, like sea salt caramel pretzel, cookie monster, and strawberry bliss. Then customize with over 50 toppings, including cheesecake and brownie bites, candy bar pieces, even fresh fruit and granola. Swirl, smile, and stay a while at Cherry Berry Frozen Yogurt in Eau Claire.
Do the cherry berry, do the cherry berry.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, we get to politics a little bit later. One more segment of a Wellness and Weight Loss Wednesday with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd from KarenHurd.com. Callers, do go to the front of the line. I mean it. You call right now at 723-2555 from anywhere throughout the WOGO listening area, from Superior down to La Crosse, from Hudson over to Wausau. We'll get you on the air. Otherwise, you can email mark@wogo.com. That's mark@wogo.com. And I think we've got some more questions for Karen. I know we do today, and so let's go to those. Here we go. A regular listener from out of state says, Karen, would you please address whether it's still safe and effective to eat nuts and seeds, or it's butters, from stores that are not raw or fresh any longer because its oils have become rancid from sitting on the shelf too long and exposed to light and moisture?
Okay. Good question.
She says, you have never cautioned or emphasized to avoid ones that might have been sitting there too long or ones without shells. And the listener says that she's read the rancid oils are carcinogenic and that also some nuts have far too much omega-6, therefore not only canceling out any benefits you might have gotten from them, but also being potentially harmful, and that it should be avoided. Finally says that the advice was to purchase nuts that still had its shell on them or buy from stores that you know have a quick turnover. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, those are really great questions. Love it. Don't ever eat it, rancid oils. It's very easy to tell if something is rancid. You can taste it. I think all of us have had an old nut, you know, that you've at grandma's house, and she had this whole...
Come on, poor grandma gets
well,
beat here.
When I was little, I remember eating nuts at my grandmother's house, and I was like, oh, these taste terrible. There's something wrong with them. It was rancid because they were old. I don't know how long they've been sitting in grandma's cupboard. But anyway, so I didn't eat them because I already knew that they tasted wrong even as a child. And so if something is rancid, yes, it's bad for you. We don't eat. We shouldn't eat. You know, when you taste any food that's rotten, please don't eat it. That's not good. So now, as
seems to me there's some kind of joke, and it's kind of foggy in my mind, but I think it's something about grandma did have like some chocolate covered nuts or something, and she sucked the chocolate off of them.
You remember that? Yeah, there is some
joke. And then she leaves it, and then the pastor comes and eats the nuts and says, "Boy, those were good nuts," or something like that. I seems like that's not correct. It's got to be.
No, that is a joke, and it's a joke my husband tells, but I can't remember all the details, so I don't even want to try.
I think
to
I've got
it
off a little bit, but all right, go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, that's it. So anyway, yeah, don't eat rancid nuts. So, okay, how do you tell if something is rancid on the shelf? It's the same thing. Whenever we buy something on the shelf, there's an expiration date, and there will be an expiration date on your peanut butter or on your whatever nut butter that you're buying. It's going to say buy before, and that's because, yes, in time, the exposure to the light, it's going to, light always oxidizes. Oxidized means that you're going to lose one of those carbon bonds that I was talking about, and then you're going to bring in a hydrogen bond, and it can actually then saturate the fat, first of all, and so the fat gets thicker, and then it can eventually can go rancid. So we just look at the date, and then if you open up something, if you're not sure if there is no date for some reason, although very few things don't have dates nowadays, then when you open it up, if it smells bad or you take a taste of it and it's bad, then, okay, you bought a bum product, so we just don't buy it. Okay, so that answers, I think, the rancid oil one. Now this whole omega-6 thing. I'm really glad people brought that up. And I'm already glad I gave you this background about this carbon chain. So we're all familiar, if you've been listening to the show up to this point, then you know that I just talked about how these carbons are in long, long chains. There are carbon on either side, and they have a hydrogen on the top side and the bottom side. We'll call it that way. It's easier just to picture it that way. And so then we have these long carbons. On the end where the last carbon ends, it's called the omega end. Omega means end. And so at that end carbon, the carbon needs to have four bonds. It's showing to the carbon next to it, carbon number two, and then because we start numbering from the omega end. So carbon number one is at the end, and it's connected to carbon number two right next to it. If we're going to be in America, we'll read from the left to the right. So it's on our right, the carbon next to it. And then it's connected actually to three hydrogens, because remember it has to make three bonds, and so it's going to be connected to three hydrogens, and we call that a methyl. And so that carbon then is number one. The next carbon in the chain is number two, and the next carbon is number three. Well, number three connected to number four, if there's a double bond between carbon three and carbon four, we call that an omega-3 fatty acid. That means the double bond is between the third and fourth carbon, omega-3. From the omega end, count three carbons in. Then that's where the double bond is. Where is the double bond on an omega-6? It's on the sixth carbon end. It's connecting the sixth to the seventh carbon. That's where the double bond is. You can also have an omega-9. So on the ninth carbon end to the tenth carbon, you can have a double bond. And when you have a monounsaturated fat, that means there's only one set of double bonds. It's between, usually in a monounsaturated fat, it's in this, between the sixth and seventh. It's an omega-6. At the sixth to the seventh carbon, that's where we have the bond. Now then, omega-6 are always taking this big hit. They are terrible. They're going to cause cancer. Where? Where? I want to see the research. I do research every day. I am always looking at the literature. And I'm not talking about, you know, just, you know, these websites that just spoof off whatever. I'm reading the actual studies. I want to see the study that says that the omega-6 fatty acid is a bad fat, because I haven't read one, and I've been doing a lot of reading. So it's like, okay, show me the study. Show me the study. I want to see the scientific evidence of this. But chemically, it doesn't matter, because chemically, we have to break one of those double bonds to bring in a functional group to change things. That does change the fatty acid in, but people, we have to remember there's something going on also called the beta oxidation cycle. And a beta oxidation cycle where we're cleaving off two carbon units off of a long fatty acid, we start at the terminal end. Terminal end is the end of the omega, and we cleave off two fatty acids. We cleave off two carbons, and they're converted into what's called an acetyl unit, and then it's sent through a glycolysis process, and we make energy out of it, if you will. And so we can always cleave off these two carbon units. It's done constantly in the body. It's just part of human metabolism, where we're taking off these two units. So pretty soon, your omega-6 is no longer omega-3. It moves into the omega-6 is no longer omega-6, it moves into the omega-3 position. It's always changing. And so the key piece is not the location on the chain. The key piece is that we have a double bond between the carbons so that we can do something with it. So that's the omega-6. Was there a third part to that question? I was writing it down.
I think you've done pretty good with it.
Okay. All right, we'll let it drop then.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so they just wanted to, I mean, in general, nuts are good for you. And
nuts
I mean,
are good for you. Yeah, and if it smells bad and they taste bad, don't eat them.
Yeah.
Everything goes rancid. Everything goes rotten in time. That's a normal process. It then should happen that way.
Beth in Pennsylvania wants to know, what should someone with anemia eat? Well, I mean, you need iron, right?
Yes.
And she says that a friend broke her femur in November. The bone is healing very, very slowly. Her doctor just put her on mega doses of D and calcium. What should she be eating for her bone to heal?
Okay, so those are two different questions.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
anemia, yeah.
All right, you're right. Okay, let's do anemia first.
Okay, yeah, anemia is low iron. That means you don't have enough iron to oxygenate the tissue. You see, there's something called hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is a red blood cell that carries oxygen to the tissues. If you don't have oxygen to your tissues, you're not going to live. You have to have oxygen. It's very important. And so it is the heme inside of the red blood cell of the hemoglobin that has this iron. The heme is the iron component. Iron has this incredible capacity to go from 2 to 3. There's positive charges on iron, and it goes from 2 to 3, 2 to 3, 2 to 3, depending on how much oxygen it's carrying. Oxygen has a negative charge. And so we put oxygen inside the hemoglobin. If you are short on iron, then you don't have enough iron in the red blood cell, so you can't carry enough oxygen to get to the cell, to the whatever tissue you're trying to get to. And so that's why it's really important to have enough iron. So where does iron come from? The richest sources of iron here, I always tell people who are anemic, do the following things. Make sure you get a source of red meat, a serving of red meat each day. And you'll say, well, Karen, you just talked about saturated fats. And saturated fats have, or red meats have saturated fats. They do, unless you eat lean red meat. I'm always telling people, eat lean. You don't have to eat the fat on this red meat. Buy lean. What's lean? 93% is lean. And that is a really good, you have very few saturated fats. So you eat the lean meat, and the lean meat is the iron. The iron is not found in the fat. It's found in the muscle tissue. So you eat red meat. What's red meat? It's beef. It's venison. It's buffalo. So it's not pork, by the way. Pork does not have the iron content that, like, venison or beef or buffalo or, well, what else can we think of? Elk, I don't know, yep. Whatever people eat. Okay, so that's the first source of iron. The second source of iron is in our vegetables, specifically spinach, kale, and Swiss chard. Those are green, leafy vegetables loaded with iron. Remember Popeye the Sailor Man? I grew up with Popeye. You know how he
spinach.
Squeezes a can of spinach? Yeah, and then it pops up and it pops in his mouth. I always loved that. Okay, so spinach is a great source of iron. So you can eat the deep leafy greens every day, spinach, kale, Swiss chard, one of those. You don't have to eat all three of them. And then also, people get very confused about elements and where they're from, and we always think that they have to come from a food source. Actually, they don't. They just have to enter into the human bloodstream. If you cook with cast iron is an iron. You've probably seen these iron skillet or iron kettles that are. They also will put iron in your food. So if you're trying to get iron on a regular basis, then cook in cast iron, because the cooking in cast iron will actually put iron in your food, and you'll be eating the iron.
Huh.
So, I mean, you could swallow iron shavings, although I don't recommend that because they're pretty rough and pretty cutting up of the gut. But getting the molecular iron from cooking with cast iron.
Well, and there's, iron supplements, too, which you're not, you don't usually point
to. Yeah, you can do iron supplements, too, and they're prolific on the market. But it's so easy to get it from your food. Why don't you just do your food?
Karen, we've got this next question for Beth, and there's two other email questions. It's already 11:31, so let's try to do the briefer version. Here we go. Again, her friend broke her femur in November, bone healing slowly. A doctor just put her on megadoses of D and calcium. What should she be eating in order for her bone to heal?
Okay, the calcium and the D are very good things for her to do. She can certainly get them from her food, but I don't care if she's taking supplements, so she's got to change her diet. So what she has to do is change her diet. Get rid of her diuretics. Her diuretics are her coffee and her sodas and her teas, because they cause the loss of calcium almost as fast as she can take it in, and that's mainly the cause of a lack of calcium.
All right.
Things for eating.
Let's, a couple of questions here from Julie, and let's tackle the first one. She just sent another one. She says, is there any way to keep chronic yeast infections from recurring? Sugar, fruit, and artificial sweeteners were cut from the diet long ago.
Yeah, yeast is very resilient. You have to actually do a sitz bath, because once it is inhabiting the area, it will be very hard to eradicate. So you have to do a sitz bath. 1.5 cups of baking soda into 4 or 5 inches of warm bath water. Soak your bottom in that for 20 minutes. Do it once a day.
All right, Julie's other question for Karen says, do you have any nutritional solution for hypercalcemia?
Huh?
Too much calcium in the blood.
Yeah, it's too much calcium in the blood. Yeah.
You hear much more about hypoglycemia.
Yeah, it sort of rhymes, isn't it? Okay, anyway. So, yeah, it's too much calcium in the blood. You just have to look at, there might be an underlying cause that you might have parathyroidism disease. So we really want to, you need to be investigated by a physician to make sure your parathyroids aren't involved in this little piece. Because parathyroids dictate the control, you might have hyperparathyroidism, and that could create this this too much calcium in the bloodstream. Usually it's not a problem. So the first thing we have to do is check that first, because we might have an underlying problem.
All right. Last one. It is the last one. Gwen says she's wondering if she can do anything to avoid a knee replacement. She's already had a torn meniscus surgery, and she continues to have problems.
Yes. She just has to eat well. Oh, Mark, all they have to
really?
Do is eat well. You can avoid the entire knee surgery, but be prepared. It'll take time.
Huh.
You need to start eating well now. And what do you do in the meantime? Then you use your ibuprofen or your meloxicam, whatever your doctor's prescribed for the pain, and you start eating well now. Bone regenerates.
Mm.
Cartilage regenerates. We will rebuild these joints, but you got to eat right.
All right. Karen, thank you so much. KarenHurd.com. Give a call, folks. 71. Oh, you know what? Jeannie got a question. I don't want to say I lied. I don't want to pass over Jeannie in Eau Claire. She's a terrific sister in Christ. She says, I have a question for Karen. If you're eating small amounts of beans throughout the entire day, what's the best way to fit in eating the nut? We've covered this before, but go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes they don't have to be separated. But if we have to separate the nuts from the beans because we need the essential fatty acids in the nuts in the bloodstream and not being carried to the colon, which is actually helpful for the colon too, mm-hmm. then you just have to wait. Eat your beans all day long, stop an hour and a half before you go to bed, and then you wait that hour and a half. Now it's bedtime. Mm-hmm. Now you get out your nuts and you eat your nuts right before bed.
And then there's a question for me, but maybe also it says, Mark, are there plans for Wellness Wednesday to continue in your Liberia absence? Thanks, as always, for such a great broadcast. Again, we've announced my wife and I, our family, planning around September 1st to head to West Africa for 9 months, and then we'll see what happens from there. But I don't know. I mean, that's a question for management here. I mean, they're advertising this job, and so it depends on who they hire and how they proceed with that, and it's out of my hands. So, Karen, thanks again. Whoever it is, you won't have that Mark Karen magic, but we wish them the very best, and we'll see what they can come up with. So.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Karen Hurd, KarenHurd.com, and thanks for the question, Jeannie. All right. We're going to come back. More homepage. Busy night in Eau Claire, the city council. What they got done, Paul Ryan and his primary opponent. We'll hear from both of them coming up. And then later, a nursing home slash daycare in Seattle. Fascinating. Saw this on PBS last night. Want to let you know about it.
Do you like the vehicle you're driving in now? If you're looking for a used vehicle that includes two warranties, maintenance, and a Carfax vehicle history report, then check out the certified pre-owned vehicles at Marquardt Motors. Every certified pre-owned vehicle goes through a 172-point inspection by one of Marquardt's certified technicians. Each vehicle is backed by two zero-deductible warranties. This includes a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper limited warranty and a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, not to mention free standard maintenance for 2 years or 24,000 miles. This covers your oil changes, tire rotations, and vehicle inspections. Don't settle for less. Check out Marquardt's wide selection of certified pre-owned Chevy, Buick, and GMCs online. You will find more than 20 photos and a detailed description of each vehicle at MarquardtMotors.com or stop by. We're located off Business 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls.
A check weather on FM 103.1 AM 680 and Wilgo.com. For this Wednesday, May 11th, this is what you can expect weather-wise. Cloudy skies at a high near 64 with a 30% chance of showers after 5 and east to southeast winds 5 to 10. Tonight, an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms while you sleep with lows around 50. Partly sunny, a high near 66 on Thursday, only 54 Friday and 53 on Saturday. That's the weather from WOGO.
Lake Alley Golf. Check eSpecials for the best golf deals around.
Okay, admit it. You know you're ready for a change in janitorial services. Here at Wibwogo Radio, we've relied on Schleppenbach Janitorial for 8 years now. Alex has a personal approach as a local owner, and he won't demand a long-term contract. We know our building is clean and secure because they triple-check the doors. Schleppenbach Janitorial tailors the cleaning solutions to your business needs. With cold and flu season in full swing, it's time to make that call today. 723-6601. That's 723-6601.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Well, tomorrow is the day for the much-talked-about meeting with the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan of Janesville, the Republicans' presumptive nominee, Donald Trump. Big winner in West Virginia and Nebraska last night. Hillary Clinton lost again, though, losing to West Virginia. Continues to slide. It's not the way you want to go into the nomination, all that superdelegate hope. But Paul Ryan with this meeting, and then Reince Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee, also a Wisconsin native from Kenosha, for this meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow marking a week since Ryan said, you know what, I want to support Donald Trump. He told Jake Tapper on CNN, I plan to support him. I'm just not there yet. And then he caught all sorts of flack, and Sarah Palin went on with Tapper on State of the Union on Sunday on CNN and said, Ryan's political career is over, barring a miracle. And all right, we'll see if she can pull it off. And Paul Nealon is the guy looking to sink his ship. So we're going to hear from both of them here and then also tell you what the Eau Claire City Council covered last night. And then later, some interesting stuff about a nursing home slash daycare. To me, it was fascinating. I thought, boy, is this the only one like this in the country? Cat Wise with a very good report to check out at pbs.org. But first of all, Paul Ryan with Michael Medved yesterday for just a few minutes here at Aired After 5 on WOGO.
I assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, that one of the things you're going to talk about is issues. What direction the two of you, Mr. Trump and Speaker Ryan, could lead the country if you got together?
Well, yeah, issues and principles for the most part. Look, this is 1 week after this primary effectively ended, and it was a very, very bitter and divisive primary. It's going to take time to put things together. And, you know, the point I was making late last week and I'm making is, as conservatives, there are some universal principles that we as conservatives and Republicans all stand on. You know, limited government, a proper role for the executive, the Constitution. There are just certain principles that we think are universal and are very important. And we want to just make sure that, we unify around those principles so we can move together on a united front. And the point, the other point I'm making, Michael, and you know, I haven't listened to your show lately, but you're probably making it, is we can't just pretend to be unified when we know we're not. I think
exactly.
That would be wrong. It would if we fake it, then we're going to go into the fall at half strength. And when there's an election where everything is at stake, the Supreme Court, the executive, the legislature, you really just the future of the country for a long time, we can't fake that we're unified. We need to truly become unified. And to truly become unified, I think we have to have a good conversation with one another about the principles and the policies that come from conservatism. People are going to disagree on different policy matters. That's to be expected. And in a big tent party like ours, that's expected. But there are some big principles that we really care about. And that's the kind of thing I think that is worthy of a great party like ours that can unify around it. And we have to discuss and see how we can do that.
Do you think it's possible that you could come out of meeting with Mr. Trump with some very specific agreement? I know that former Speaker Gingrich has talked about some kind of new contract with America that could unite some of the embattled House candidates who need to get reelected.
Well, I don't want to speculate as to what we may or may not accomplish. We don't really know each other. And look, this isn't about Ryan and Trump.
Of course, this is not.
This is about whether or not the Republican Party and the conservative movement can unify all the various wings of the party so that we are rowing this boat together in the same direction so that we're full strength at the fall. I'm not sure that one meeting does that. I think it's a process that needs to begin in earnest. And by the way, we have time. I mean, it's 2 months before July, before the convention. So I think the question is, can we get this party to unify after a very divisive primary? We've had them before in the past, and we've unified in the past. So I think if past is prologue, I think the answer is probably yes.
Okay,
but
we'll be right back.
Questions that need to be answered that people have that I think, you know, we shouldn't just ignore them. We should you know, talk them out.
All right. So Ryan may have stayed with Michael Medved. That's all we had on WDOGO. As an infomercial came on the air at 5:30, but nonetheless, I think Ryan's not going to lose in August, and I think it is going to be a positive meeting tomorrow between the presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump and Paul Ryan. Trump saying here within the last day, Ryan today taking questions on the Trump meeting, saying unifying the party is a process. Trump himself talking about Paul Ryan Paul Ryan, a very good man. I predict positive results from meeting Thursday. Listen, I mean, usually if somebody would come out against Donald Trump and say, I'm not ready to support him, maybe he'd blast away, but he didn't on Paul Ryan. And he is on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. He never takes the entertainment out of it. And I think that is, I think that's a big reason why we shouldn't look past it. I mean, Neil Postman wrote his book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, 30 years ago, the mid 80s. All right. Politics in the political discourse in the age of entertainment age, something like that. The subtitle, I'll get it here before 12 noon for you. But Trump is continually entertaining. And if you're, you know, kind of a snobbish elitist, you know, it's like, huh, it should not be. Listen, he is. And people typically that's not the way that it is. But I think, you know, Trump keeps that in mind because he wants to keep people interested. When he said I could be more presidential, but you'd be, you know, bored as heck. I mean, he's aware of the entertainment factor. He is many things. He is an entertainment, a showman, a promoter. And so this is, when I read his comment about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I think, He might have had somebody else say it in a more political way, but this is just the quote. Trump says, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she's a congresswoman from Florida, as well as the chair of the Democratic National Committee. That's a lot to put on your plate. I personally feel for her family, like, wow, I don't know. That's a lot. But anyhow, I guess Ryan is the Speaker of the House, and he's the congressman as well as a speaker there. But the head of the whole, like Ryan's Priebus, he's not also a congressman. Anyhow, Trump's comment was DWS, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, is a terrible spokesman. I hope she stays. See, it's just got an entertainment value to it. Anyhow, Paul Nealon is the guy who is challenging Paul Ryan in the 1st Congressional District. And here's just a little bit of what he said on MSNBC yesterday.
Who's Paul Ryan to lecture anybody about uniting around conservatism? If you look at President Obama's top three policy initiatives, Erica, comprehensive Pacific partnership, as I mentioned in my video there, and criminal justice reform, Paul Ryan is the champion enabler of those initiatives. He's uniting with Hillary Clinton's State Department around Trans-Pacific Partnership. Paul Ryan's uniting with Barack Obama on comprehensive immigration reform and criminal justice reform. It's not surprising, and I'm honored to have Governor Palin's endorsement.
All right, we'll see. Hillary Clinton, I just think if Donald Trump comes out of this meeting with Paul Ryan, Ryan has said last week, it wasn't as hostile as people framed it. He just said, I'd like to support Trump. I plan to support him. I'm just not there yet. And that's why Palin, it was a complete and total and embarrassing overreaction on her part. And then, you know, James Hurston was on with me yesterday on WWIB and WIB.com, and he's a strong proponent of Trump and has been for quite a while. And he sort of defended her and said, well, I think she's got some deeper issues that go back to the omnibus bill, etc. You know, with all due respect, on omnibus, it was, and there was a lot of conservative outrage over that. The fact, and Trump has certainly voiced that as well, but he avoided a government shutdown and was able to get some accomplishments in terms of oil drilling, etc. And so, well, there was give some to get some. Welcome to politics. I mean, Donald Trump, maybe his uniform hasn't been dirty because he hasn't been on the field. And he's only been on the field as far as campaigning. And once he shifted from a primary campaign to a general election, he immediately dropped the idea of funding his own campaign. And as he's raising dollars now, he's already immediately paying himself back for money that he only borrowed himself to the campaign. And Trump himself said recently, listen, I don't want to sell buildings to fund this. And so, yes, he's open to folks who want to. Ed Rollins talked about heading up a super PAC for Trump in the general election. He wants that. He is interested in that. And things do change. Now, Trump applauds the flexibility. But once he gets into the game of if he is elected president, I mean, you're going to get mud on your uniform, right? So anyhow, good luck to Paul Nealon. And I think you're going to lose and lose badly, as I think even the people of Janesville reacting. What I saw this morning is that they're saying we support the job that Ryan's doing. So good luck, buddy. Good luck. It's Homepage, WOGO, an amazing nursing home daycare in Seattle, next on WIB. Actually, on WOGO, and we got to talk about the Eau Claire City Council. We'll do that first, coming up.
You might not be able to prevent your car from being lost to a once every 100 years flood. And you might not have been able to avoid the circus from coming to town and squashing your convertible. And those fireworks that look so good in the sky might not be so pretty when they land on your car, burning it to the ground. So is your brand new car covered for its replacement cost without a deduction for depreciation? With MetLife Auto and Home, the answer is yes. We will repair or replace a total loss to your vehicle within the first year or 15,000 miles, whichever comes first. So relax and enjoy your new car, knowing you have an insurance policy that truly protects you for the challenging road ahead. Call your local MetLife Auto and Home agent, David Shervey, today at 715-723-1653. MetLife Auto and Home is a brand of Metropolitan Property and Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Available in most states to those who qualify. Subject to deductible. See policy for restrictions.
Okay, admit it. You know you're ready for a change in janitorial services. Here at WIBWOGO Radio, we've relied on Schleppenbach Janitorial for 8 years now. Alex has a personal approach as a local owner, and he won't demand a long-term contract. We know our building is clean and secure because they triple-check the doors. Schleppenbach Janitorial tailors the cleaning solutions to your business needs. With cold and flu season in full swing, it's time to make that call today. 723-6601. That's 723-6601.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, let's talk some about the Eau Claire City Council and what they got done yesterday. There was a lot. The City Council unanimously approved an escort service ordinance, the measure requiring escorts to be licensed and follow strict guidelines in order to operate legally in Eau Claire. I was at the meeting on Monday night, the public hearing, for 2 hours, including when the Eau Claire Chief of Police testified on this initially. And the fact of the matter is that he said that nowhere in the state of Wisconsin is there a legitimate escort service, that they're all fronts for prostitution. And so provisions include that the escort may not have physical contact with the client, and the client and the escort must be at least 18. So here's the deal. As they're advertising for these services online, now this will empower police to go and check, are you legitimately registered, et cetera. And so the police say the measure will be another way to combat prostitution, and it'll hold those involved in human trafficking accountable. Meanwhile, also Jody Emerson from Fierce Freedom, though, saying that this should be, it can't be the end of what we're doing as a city. This needs to be the beginning. And she makes a great case about this. Again, police are saying that this new city law also intended to allow police to address more prostitution in the community than officers can through more time-intensive and resource-consuming sting operations, rather than focusing on charging prostitutes as currently happens when these women are arrested. The Eau Claire Chief of Police, Jerry Staniszewski, says the ordinance will allow police to better ascertain each prostitution case and focus on prosecuting the pimps and the men paying for sex. Meanwhile, TIF, Tax Incremented Finance Districts, that did pass last night. First formal policy by the City Council. City Finance Director Jay Winsens saying the comprehensive policy provides a framework or a guideline for staff to use when they're negotiating with developers, and it provides a set of ground rules for developers for what the City of Eau Claire is willing to do to assist them. However, it should be noted that Eau Claire City Council member Bob Von Hayden, further echoing some of the concerns raised by Mary Jo Cohen and others on Monday night, saying, I just want to be clear on this. Everyone thinks that TIFs are free, and they're not. There is a cost associated with them. As Mary Jo rightly said on our air on Friday, you can find the podcast at wogwar.com, that it's like you can get a cup of coffee for a dollar, and instead you're paying $2 for it. And was made privy to some of Mary Jo's email to Julian Emerson at the Leader Telegram on this, and she thanked him for at least mentioning the contention from the Voters with Facts folks that TIFs are more costly than general fund borrowing. The real story, says Cohen, though, strikes her as the City Council's complete failure to address the issues. And that I know Mary Jo was hoping yesterday that maybe the City Council would take up an amendment or something from what was brought up. And in fact, not only did they not do that, then they didn't even really address that. And everybody who was watching this closely could see that they just chose not to. It felt like too much of a hassle or burden or whatever there. And so Mr. Emerson, in further email communication with Ms. Cohen, indicating that he would try to probe into this a little bit further and try to see if there might be further answers to be had in terms of trying to offset some of these concerns. And also, the light installation moving forward for the Phoenix Park Bridge, the Miracle Field for Jeffers Park goes ahead. And then finally, the City Council okaying the transit hub study, looking for a new headquarters for the transit in Eau Claire. All right, finally, as we wrap up the show here on WOGO, this is just too good to miss out on. And PBS with a great story last night. I'd never heard of anything quite like this before. A nursing home and a daycare share a roof, and it's magic. Here's a report from Kat Wise on PBS.
A new report due out later this week from the National Institute on Early Education Research finds that a number of states are struggling to find ways to improve access to high-quality pre-kindergarten. Tonight, we look at a unique approach taken by a preschool in Seattle, Washington. It's giving children life lessons that go beyond the classroom and providing a unique opportunity to seniors. Special correspondent Kat Wise has our report. It's part of our Making the Grade series on education that airs every Tuesday.
What do you see? A brown bear.
A brown bear. Does
everybody Mary McGovern is 95 years old, and one of her favorite things to do is to read to toddlers.
Okay. And what is that? A bird?
A bird.
A bird. What color is the bird?
Red.
Red. Everybody knows that.
Luckily for Mary, she doesn't need to go any further than down the hall to find her young friends.
Oh, see, look in here as the little kids see that.
Oh, yeah.
McGovern lives at Providence Mount St. Vincent, a nursing home in Seattle, Washington, that also houses a daycare for children up to 5 years of age.
Can you hand out a scarf?
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. Water,
every weekday, 500 residents are joined by 125 children in the facility affectionately called the Mount.
Peek-a-boo.
Peek-a-boo.
I see you.
Administrator Charlene Boyd.
We wanted to create a place for people to come to live and not to come to die.
So in 1991, Boyd and other administrators added a high-quality preschool to the nursing home and created an intergenerational learning center, a community for the very old and very young.
Why is there this railing here?
This railing is here not for the kids, but it's here for residents. And it's a safety piece for a resident in a wheelchair to push themselves up and to hold on and to bring themselves to a standing position and watch the children through the window.
So they can stand here and look in.
They can stand here and look in.
It's putting high quality child care in a setting that links old and young together.
Say, have a nice day.
Making the magic between these two ages together, bringing joy to the residents and joy to those young children. It's just like this magical formula that happens every day.
Get a high five. She knows how to do a high five. Most of them, they're curious about me, why you're here. I tell them I'm here because when I was living in my house, when I got too old, I wasn't always walking straight and sometimes I would fall. And if I fell, I had to have some help to get up because I couldn't get off the floor. I want to hug your baby doll.
I think there are things that both parties take away from the interaction. It's not like a lifelong relationship, but just for that moment in time, they're both enjoying each other's company and getting something out of their relationship with that person in that moment.
Give me a hug.
Come on.
Good hug.
All of us have common needs to be recognized. All of us have common need to be loved, and all of us have common needs to share life together. And so these children bring life and vibrancy and normalcy. It's a gift. It's a gift in exposing young families to the positive aspects of aging, and it's a gift of also having children seeing frailty, normalcy, and that's part of that full circle of life.
He rocks in treetops all day long, hopping and bopping and singing his song.
Intergenerational activities can be spontaneous or planned, like this sing-along.
There's 36 visits possible each week. So each classroom, six classrooms, has at least three visits, up to six visits.
In my heart.
The director of the center, Marie Hoover, says children become comfortable with elderly residents at an early age.
Whether they're in a wheelchair or in a walker, or maybe they're hard to understand, or you have to speak louder, it is just about who that individual is and they adjust. The kids just don't, they really don't blink an eye. This is normal. This is just who this resident is.
93-year-old Harriet Thompson joined this sing-along on her way to the dining hall.
I usually like to go sit down for a while before dinner, but I heard him singing, so in we went.
What do you experience internally when you're around these children?
Happiness. Just plain old happiness. You know, yeah. It beats anything else. It beats television.
Boredom and loneliness are sort of the plagues of older adults.
There she goes. Yep.
There's nothing more delightful than seeing young children with noise, with laughter. You see the residents and then hear the sound of the kids coming down the hall, and it's as though sunlight just came through the window.
I'm a great-great-grandmother, but they're in another town. I can't hold my own little girl, because she's far away. So, but this is what makes me so happy. You get to know.
All right, I love that story. And, again, have just tweeted it out. And also, it's up on my Facebook page, which is a nursing home and a daycare share a roof, and it's magic. We need more of those, for sure. Hey, Marco, your authorized Canon, HP, Konica, Minolta dealer, Marco. And if you're an auto repair do-it-yourselfer, just need a set of wipers, shop the Eau Claire and Halley Auto Value stores, encouraging you to be car care aware. Hey, if you're planning to go to Leading with Power, tomorrow is the wrap-up for Season 4. It'll be at the Eagles Club in Lake Halley. Register online at leadingwithpower.org. That's leadingwithpower.org. My wife and I, Peggy, we're going to be sharing for about 5 minutes about Teamwork Africa and our plans to move our family to Liberia, West Africa. Hope to see you tomorrow at Leading with Power at the Eagles Club in Lake Halley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll get the podcast up at WOGO.com. So long.